Canto number 5, chapter number 5, text number 21 and 22. Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. Please repeat after me. Bhuteshu Teshu Viruddhamaya Uttamaye Sarispasteshu Subdha Nishtaha Tato Manushya Paramathasya Tato Pi Gandharva Siddha Vibuddhanangai Mahagvat Paradhanam Devasurbhayo Magavat Pradhanam Dakshayo Brahma Sutastu Tesam Bhava Prahado Bhava Prahatso Api Virincha Viraya Samat Paroham Dvijip Deva Devaya This is the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev says, of the two energies manifest, two energies that are manifest, spirit and dull matter, beings possessing living force, such as vegetables, grass, trees and plants, are superior to dull matter, such as stones, earth, etc. Superior to non-moving plants and vegetables are worms and snakes, which can move. Superior to worms and snakes are animals that can develop intelligence. Superior to animals are human beings, and superior to human beings are ghosts because they have no material bodies. Superior to ghosts are the Gandharvas, and superior to them are the Siddhas. Superior to the Siddhas are the Kinaras, and superior to them are the Asuras. Superior to the Asuras are the demigods, and of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma, such as King Daksha, and supreme amongst Brahma's sons is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the son of Brahma. Brahma is considered superior, but Brahma is also subordinate to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because I am inclined to the Brahmanas, the Brahmanas are best of all. Purport, Paisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the Brahmanas are given a position superior to that of the Supreme Lord. The idea is that the government should be conducted under the guidance of the Brahmanas. Although Rishabhdev recommended his eldest son Bharat as emperor of the earth, he still had to follow the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to govern the world perfectly. The Lord is worshipped as Brahmana Devaya. The Lord is very fond of devotees or Brahmanas. This does not refer to so-called caste Brahmanas, but to qualified Brahmanas. A Brahmana should be qualified with the eight qualities mentioned in text 24, such as Shama, Dama, Satya, Titiksha. The Brahmanas should always be worshipped, and under their guidance, the ruler should discharge his duty and rule the citizens. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, the executive is not selected by very intelligent people, nor is he guided by qualified Brahmanas. Consequently, chaos the results. The mass of people should be educated in Krishna consciousness so that according to the democratic process, they can select a first-class devotee like Bharat Maharaj to head the government. If the head of the state is headed by a qualified Brahmana, everything is completely perfect. In this verse, the evolutionary process is indirectly mentioned. The modern theory that life evolves from matter is to some extent supported in this verse because it is stated, Bhuteshu viruddhabhya. That is, the living entities evolve from vegetables, grass, plants, and trees, which are superior to dull matter. In other words, matter also has a potency to manifest living entities in the form of vegetables. In this sense, life comes out of matter, but matter also comes out of life. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam parvottate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. There are two energies, material and spiritual, and both originally comes from Krishna. Krishna is a supreme living being. Although he may be said that in the material world, a living force is generated from matter, it must be admitted that originally matter is generated from the supreme living being. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. The conclusion is that everything, both material and spiritual, is generated from the supreme being. From the evolutionary point of view, perfection is reached when the living entity attains the platform of Brahmana. A Brahmana is a worshipper of the Supreme Brahman, and the Supreme Brahman worships the Brahmana. In other words, the devotee is subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and the Lord is inclined to see to the satisfaction of his devotee. A Brahmana is called Dvija Deva, and the Lord is called Dvija Deva Deva. He is the Lord of the Brahmanas. The evolutionary process is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter number 19, wherein it is said that there are two types of living entities, moving and non-moving. Among non-moving entities are stones, etc. And among moving entities, there are birds, beasts, aquatics, human beings, and so on. Of these, the human beings are supposed to be the best, but they are few. Of these small number of human beings, there are many low-class human beings, such as Mlechas, Pulindas, Baudhas, and Shabras. The human being elevated, enough to accept the Vedic principles is superior. Among those who accept the Vedic principles, generally known as Varnashram, presently known as the Hindu system, few actually follow these principles. Of those who actually follow the Vedic principles, most perform fruitive activity or pious activity for elevation to a higher position. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yataitai siddhaye. Out of many attached to fruitive activity, one may be agnani, that is, one philosophically inclined and superior to the karmis. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschim man viti tatvataha. Out of many jnanis, one may be liberated from material bondage. And out of many millions of liberated jnanis, one may become a devotee of Lord Krishna. Om Agnyanti. So the shloka is 21-22, teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. Of the two energies manifest, spiritual and dull matter, beings possessing living force, that is vegetables, grass, trees and plants, are superior to dull matter, stone, earth, etc. But I stated in the purport by Prabhupada, the plants come out of the earth. So there has to be something living in the earth so that you get living things from the earth. So Bhumi is a living entity. And we call Bhumi as one of the mothers. Only from a mother a child comes, not from a father. So Bhumi is also considered as a mother. If the plant is living, then the mother is surely living. And therefore, the mother is a living entity, and that is Bhumi, and that is earth. Superior to non-moving plants and vegetables. Moving in the sense, plants do move towards the sun. They move upwards, but they don't move around. They cannot dance in ecstasy. Superior to worms and snakes are animals. Actually, worms and snakes, unfortunately, do not participate in spiritual activity. But there have been instances of animals participating in spiritual activities, such as a dog was there at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Surasen, his dog. And he was able, Shivanand Sen's dog, was actually going to Jagannath, eating prasadam, dancing in ecstasy. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is one picture somewhere here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the lord of all animals, and therefore they understand him and he understands them. We are not lord of all animals. No one can claim to be Bhagavan. Otherwise, make tigers dance with deers. Let's see. It's not possible. But they can dance when the Lord himself is there, because they realize at that moment, due to his mercy, that they are parts and parcels of him. And therefore, when you are part and parcel of someone, you are totally at ease, you are at peace. Just as when you are in your family, you are part and parcel of the family, father and mother is there, then you are at peace. The child is at peace. But the child is removed from the father and mother, it automatically becomes disturbed. Superior to worms and snakes are animals that have developed intelligence. I was recently in a forest, big forest, very big forest. I had to take my grandson. I had promised him in Karnataka, southern Karnataka. And this forest is so dense that there's hardly anyone, there is no one there. There is no one there, except for wild elephants. And I was so surprised that wild elephants have tremendous intelligence, because they can remember everything. For a long time they can remember, more than us, I presume. And they have a full system of sound communication, which goes up to 15 kilometers, the expert told me. 15 kilometers the elephant can hear, because the... are there any electrical engineers here or physicists? Oh, so you can understand that the frequency of the sound is so low, just like a man sings, and he sings, you know, with a very... Oh, you know, then you go lower and lower and lower. Then what it means is it skips, the wave skips on the ground. And that is why sometimes when a man sings at a very low frequency, it sounds very good. So I had heard these elephants at very low sound frequencies. And they have a own family system. When a child elephant is born, baby elephant is born, actually born from the mother elephant, all the elephants of that group surround that child and they trumpet the arrival of the child. You see? And they start teaching the child from a very young age. So, if an elephant can be taught at a very young age, why not our own children? So, we should not be lower than the animals. Said here that human beings are superior to animals. So, superior to animals means superior in learning, superior in practice. One should not practice or do something lower than an animal, surely. The elephants teach small babies, we should teach better than that. Superior to human beings are ghosts. The first time I read that, I was surprised. Because they have no material bodies. The explanation is very good. It is this material body which is the encumbrance. Because in the material body there are disease. In the material body there is death. If there is no material body, there is no death. This is called Deha, the material body. Lord Rishabhdev did not have a material body. Lord Rishabhdev had a Vigraha. And there is a big difference between Vigraha and Deha. Superior to ghosts are Gandharvas, and superior to them are the Siddhas, Siddha Lokas. Because they are, Siddhas are usually Siddhas because they are associating with other Siddhas who are themselves thinking of Krishna, singing the glories of Krishna. They are in the Siddha Lok, which is a superior position than us. Superior to Siddhas are the Kinaras, and superior to them are the Asuras. That's another thing I learned for the first time. Again, I had read this before, but was not sure. Superior to Asuras are the demigods. And of the here, the superiority could be also that the Asuras, like Prahlad Maharaj, is definitely superior to all of us. So we have the concrete example of Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. And superior to the Asuras are the demigods. And of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. The reason why Indra is considered here supreme of all the demigods is because he is a king. And he has a very great spiritual master, Brahaspati. And if you have no spiritual master, then you are not in a sound platform or position, because you can fall down any time. The spiritual master helps us to stabilize in Krishna consciousness, which is very important. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma, like King Daksha. Of course, he was superior in production. And supreme amongst Brahma's son is Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is between the Brahma Lok and Vaikuntha Lok. His Shiva Lok is in between. So that is why he is superior to Brahma. It is always possible that the son sometimes is greater than the father. It is possible. It's not necessary that the father has to be greater than the son. It's not necessary. I have seen this many times. Since Lord Shiva is a son of Brahma, Brahma is considered superior. But Brahma is also subordinate to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That he is talking about, Rishabhdev himself is saying to me. Because I am inclined to Brahmanas, and Brahmanas are best of all. O Brahmana Devaya, Guru Brahmana Itayacha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. We often say this when we make offerings to Lord Krishna. Because Krishna says himself that it's the Brahmanas who control not only in this world. We think that this world is all in all, but this is like a mustard seed in the whole spectrum of this universe, and multiple universes are there. So Lord Krishna himself, to make it easy for us, has given us so many learned Brahmanas who came down. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was an epitome of Brahmana. He himself gave a lecture, a wonderful lecture, that the Brahmanas are supreme. And all the Brahmanas who were in the audience were extremely happy up to that point. But then he quietly said that more superior to Brahmanas are the Vaishnavas. Because what is the difference? The difference is Brahman Jnanitihi Brahmana. That is the definition of a Brahmana. Brahman means the effulgence rays of the Lord. And remember, the effulgence of the Lord stems from his toes, from his toenails actually. It is stated in the Shastras that the Brahman starts from the toenails of the Lord. And then you see the Brahman everywhere. That is why we always say the lotus feet of the Lord is very important. All devotees are actually concentrating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Why? Because that's the source. It's always best to remember the root of anything. And yesterday, for instance, since we are talking of the root, yesterday I was going through the Sanskrit dictionary carefully, because it's mentioned in the purport about various types of human beings. Now it's up to us to decide which human being we are. Amongst the human beings, he mentions about the Malechas. The Sanskrit dictionary, that is Apte's dictionary, says the word Malecha's root word is mal. Mal means dirt, filth and impurity. So those who, like pigs, pigs are also animals but not animals, all animals are pigs. Pigs are animals but not all animals are pigs. Similarly, all human beings are not Malechas, but there are Malechas who are human beings, comparable to the pigs. So then there is a Pulindas. The dictionary says, because it's mentioned here, Pulindas. Pulindas are barbarous tribes, savage, living in mountains. So recently there was this tsunami. There was a big ocean going, 700 kilometers an hour, and it was up 40, 50 feet height, and it came to Andaman Islands. So the government of India, because it's a government of India, it has to protect all its citizens by law. And there are citizens inside that island of Nicobar Islands. And there are these Pulindas there. And they wanted to preserve these Pulindas, because they thought that it's our duty to preserve these Pulindas. So I saw a film on TV about this tsunami, because it was a fantastic thing. And I saw these Pulindas for the first time in my life. They are actually totally barbarous tribe, which had to be protected. They are totally savage, and they live in mountains, as per the dictionary. So I was now convinced the Bhagavatam and the dictionary relates very beautifully. Then there is the Baudhas, not to be confused with Buddhas. That's the first thing I started seeing in the dictionary, because there are two separate words, very akin to each other, very near to each other. So these Baudhas are illiterate. They are the opposite of intelligent people, who do things in a random fashion without any intelligence, just like worse than animals. And there is these Shabras. They are very interesting people, because there is a beautiful play Kamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj wrote about Jagannath ji. And his original name of Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, was Madhava. Neel Madhava. Neel is Neel, the color green. Neel. Blue? Bluish green, yes. Like a peacock, you know. So it's not exactly pure blue, not exactly pure green. You can see there. Neel Madhav. So, these people, Shabras, are actually the modern name of Shabras are, what is that modern name? I took it down. They are called Paswans. In the our own Lok Sabha, there is a man called Paswan. He's a Sabra. What can you do? Poor fellow. They are supposed to look after pigs. And they eat pigs' food, meat also. Means they are pig eaters. So, this is the original thing about Sabras. But there is one good thing about Sabras. But they are very, very strong. And when this, every now and then when from the ocean, this huge big log comes, which is used for making the deity of Jagannath ji. By Krishna's arrangement only everything happens. He's Jagannath, so he's Jagannath also of the ocean, obviously. So there are a lot of living entities in the ocean, as mentioned here. So he's a lot of that also. And besides, he is the supreme controller of the ocean also. That demigod who is in charge of ocean. I remember in the Ramayana there was one shloka, very beautiful shloka. the ocean was not giving way to the monkey army of Lord Ram. So all Lord Ram had to do was to raise his eyebrow by just a few millimeters, and that was enough to scare the hell out of this ocean. And he immediately came and bowed to Lord Ram. So the Lord doesn't have to do, you know, anything very, what we may call in school, you know, some caning or something like that. He doesn't have to do any drastic action. He just simply raises eyebrow a little bit. That is enough to scare even the ocean, which is 71% of the earth's surface. Such a large mass. So we can appreciate the strength of the Lord. Actually, a strong person doesn't have to demonstrate his strength too much. As one gets more progressive in life, by his word only, people like a Supreme Court judge, by his word only the fellow is hung. He doesn't have to physically go and chop him up or raise him up on a gallows. But the Supreme Court judge only has to say a sentence and that's it. The poor fellow is dead. So the same thing happens. As one progresses, the word is the most important thing. That's why Shruti is very, very important. One has to hear very carefully. And that is why the Srimad Bhagavatam is very important. And Lord Rishabhdev, I don't think it happened already. It's later, isn't it? Teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons. You're already covering. This is the one where we are covering everything. And there's some very wonderful things that he teaches his son, which comes up later on. His sons, rather. The 100 sons. Meru Devi is his wife. And I had once long back written one small booklet on Lord Rishabhdev. I'll just read out because it's the same thing from here. As you all know, we are all manas. Manas means men. The same Latin word is manus. That is there in Latin dictionary also. So manas, same in Sanskrit and Latin. So manu was the origin for all mankind. And he made the laws also for man. And this Manu had a son called Priyavrata. Everybody, we went through Priyavrata's activities. And Priyavrata had a son, Agnidhara, whose eldest son was Nabi. And this Nabi and his good wife, Meru Devi, did not have any children. Right? And because they didn't have any children, the system in those days was not to go off to Jaslok to meet one of the doctors there. What they had was, they would then both sit together and pray to Lord Vishnu, because they knew that everything comes from Lord Vishnu. Excuse me. So, the system in those yug was to meditate. Just as the Yuga Dharma in this Kali Yuga is to chant the holy name of the Lord. There is no other option. People think that there is an option. They do other things. Today morning I was listening to a tape of Prabhupada. He was with four professors from University of California. He was sitting with him, presumably in Los Angeles. There's a beautiful garden Prabhupada made in the Dwarkadish, Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish temple. Just there's a like a maybe 20 feet by 20 feet area where Prabhupada used to sit in the morning and chant and sometimes have audience with people. So these three or four professors were there and they were arguing with him naturally. And all of them were very intelligent because they were Indologists. They were familiar with Sanskrit, they were familiar with Vedas and so on. And Prabhupada was very clearly telling them the importance of following the Yuga Dharma, because they had no concept of Yuga Dharma. That is the problem. They were all so-called professors in one of the best universities in the world, University of California. And they were claiming to be PhDs in the subject of Indology, but they didn't themselves know what is Yuga Dharma.
So the basic things which everybody in this room knows, they did not know. So that is why Prabhupada said that you are a PhD in what? So ask them. I mean, they took it, so they explained. So then he said, what is the yoga dharma of this age? And they couldn't answer. They couldn't answer. Because they had not read or studied from a evam parampara, from an authorized source. This is the difference. This is the problem. If you don't study and you don't follow the evam parampara, you get misguided, misled, and you end up in the wrong place. As a wrong position, you think you are so great. In fact, Sanatan Goswami, with folded hands, with a straw in his mouth, told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the people of this Gaudiya Desh think and say that I am very learned because I know Sanskrit, I know Persian, I know this, I know that, I know all the so-called laws and everything, because he was a great minister of revenue, minister of finance. So, but actually I don't know who I am. I don't know what is my dharma. I don't know what I am to do. I don't know where I am going to go eventually. So these are basic important things which Lord Rishabhdev teaches his own sons. And actually what happens is, as Lord Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya. Adharmasya comes in. So sajamyam, I have to come. So Lord Rishabhdev came by the mercy of his own parents. They were merciful to mankind to have Lord Vishnu himself as the king. And he taught everything. So here we have this wonderful purport by Prabhupada stating clearly that Vedic principles are generally known as Varnashram, presently known as a Hindu system. This word is Hindu is not existing anywhere in our Shastras. Actually, the other day I was listening to a very great Muslim scholar. And this great Muslim scholar, in a huge big hall where there was thousands of people, he was asked that what is the meaning of the word Hindu and who are Hindus? And I was shocked to hear him say, and that is the truth, he said, I am a Hindu. And he said, actually a Muslim scholar. And people were shocked beyond belief, where a Muslim saintly person, so scholarly, saying that I am a Hindu. Then they asked, what do you mean? So he said, anybody born east of the river Sindhu, because the word Sindhu could not be pronounced by the Arabs, the S became a H, just like in certain, I think in Spanish they say Jose instead of Jose. So they can't pronounce J, so they say H, H. The opposite is true in the case of Arabs. They cannot pronounce H, so they say they cannot say sir, so they say Hindu, similarly. So, this Vedic principles known as Varnashrama, Rishabhdev actually established thoroughly. And Varnashram Dharma is very, very important according to Prabhupada, because it is a basis, it's a fundamentals. We are all from Madhva Sampradaya. Madhvacharya actually strongly emphasize this Varnashram Dharma. However, we should not stop at Varnashram Dharma. Just as we should not stop at supposing passing the 10th standard. We can go forward to the 12th standard, we can go forward to university and so on and so forth. What Prabhupada has taught is actually postdoctoral studies. Actually, it's not easy. What Prabhupada has taught, even those PhDs, three of them or four of them, professors in the University of California didn't know, which his young students, devotees, who were hippies just 3 or 4 years ago, had mastered and had taken for granted. The reason for that is because we belong to this sampradaya. People have misunderstood the word sampradaya. It comes in the wrong connotation. Sampradaya really means like a school, a spiritual school. There are 4 spiritual schools of the Vaishnavas. So we are in the Brahma Sampradaya. And unless you follow in the properly, in a proper school or university, you will be misguided. You may think you have gone to a proper school. Just like in Bombay, there are 200 unrecognized schools. I was shocked to read that in a state like Chhattisgarh, there were 1,000 universities, which are all illegal. All illegal. And the Supreme Court of India declared them illegal and closed. You see? So they were all cheaters, you know. They just wanted to cheat because students would pay very heavily to get a degree so that they could get a good job or whatever it is. So, unless one knows how to test gold, you can receive brass, highly polished brass, and you think there is gold. Similarly, these four professors who were with Prabhupada, as I heard them, at the end, they were shocked themselves. And I believe that they started coming regularly to Bhagavatam classes and starting to learn properly in the Ivam Parampara. There's one great thing that Lord Rishabhdev, you know that Indra tried to virtually test this Rishabhdev, and he stopped the rain. Can you imagine? Here is Vishnu himself as God. Because, unfortunately, Indra did not study under somebody like Prabhupada. It's unfortunate. So he did not know that Rishabhdev is Vishnu. In that sense, we are more fortunate than Indra also, believe me. Because who would challenge Rishabhdev like that? So he stopped the rain. So since Rishabhdev is himself Vishnu, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that he is the source of everything. We know that. Sarva karana karanam. So rain is also, he managed to water the whole place. So Indra became really scared, worried. And how is it then when I had stopped the rain, how did this rain come? So then he surrendered to Rishabhdev. And the process in the Vedic Dharma usually was to give his own daughter. So that everything would be fine. Son-in-law won't fight with father-in-law. So in the Ramayana it is stated that his son was called Jayanta. And this lady is Jayanti, the wife of Rishabhdev. So wife, she was the daughter of Indra. And he presented Jayanti. So Jayanta was another, like father, like son. So when Lord Ram came, this is something which you have to learn. When he questioned, he really didn't understand that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he actually wanted to enjoy with Sita, of all things. So I went to the place, it is on the Mandakini River, there is a big stone, where this, Patikshila, that's right. I was trying to remember the name of that, Patikshila, where Jayant actually pecked at Sitaji's breast, of all things. And Ram made him blind, but not on both eyes, only one eye. So, the fact of the matter is that when we do not follow the scriptures properly, by proper Evam Parampara, we have made mistakes in the past. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here in this material world. This is a place of Dukhalayam Ashaswatam, and a place of death, Mrityulok. We are all inside a jail. We are all here to reform ourselves. And we must learn to repent. Lord Jesus Christ used to say that unless you repent, you are not likely to progress. It's not possible to progress. So one must understand that we have gone through a notorious position for having come to this world. You see, we have been sent down. But fortunately, the Lord is so kind that He sends His own commander-in-chief of His Sankirtan army, Srila Prabhupada Himself, Mora Senapati. And He Himself re-energized everything because, yes, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati wrote wonderful books, but many of them were in Bengali. And how many people in this room know Bengali? And that too, His English even is so good that if you just sit to read Rama Samhita, you have to sit with the English dictionary. Every third word, Krishna, he describes as a supreme autocrat. Now, I thought autocrat did not sound nice. So I referred to the Oxford Dictionary to understand what is autocrat. And the meaning is very clear. Autocrat means there is no one equal to or superior to him. So Krishna is such that there is no one equal to or superior to him. That is autocrat. But because we don't use the word autocrat so often nowadays, we think that autocrat means something very dangerous. But Krishna is not dangerous. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or superior to him. That's all. But in those days, that is about 100 years ago, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, when he wrote all that, had to use a language which was used in Bengal and Orissa and all that. And he had to establish that what he wrote was superior to what was being preached by inferior people. Because all sorts of people were saying all sorts of things in those days. And he had to clean up the mess. So when you clean up the mess, you need a broom. And the broom is not exactly a very delicate thing. It has to clean it thoroughly. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's books, no doubt would clean your heart, but it cleans very roughly. Very clean, but it'll be tough to understand any of it. Whereas Prabhupada's books are very easy to understand, provided you associate with devotees. So the most important thing is association of devotees. It helps a lot when you eat prasadam to understand, your brain substance improves. Because prasadam is usually cooked in nice ghee and sugar. Both I found out in Ayurveda, my doctor in Karla, he gives a lot of ghee and a lot of sugar. Badaji Tambe. And I asked him one day that you'll make things worse because the cholesterol will increase. He said, no, pure cow's ghee cannot increase cholesterol. As usual, I am of a very bad nature. So I brought his ghee and gave it to Amin's laboratory in Tulsiani chamber, 9th floor. And I said, how much cholesterol is in this ghee? And what quality of cholesterol is there? Because there are three qualities of cholesterol. One is low density cholesterol, which kills you. The other is VLDL, very low density, which can kill you faster. And third is high density cholesterol, which can save you. So I was shocked to find that yes, ghee has cholesterol, but cow's ghee, but it has the one ghee which saves you. So I am now taking a lot of ghee. And sugar, I was surprised. I recently read an article which came in a very big medical magazine, and I was surprised that the brain actually works on sugar only. Just like a car will work with petrol or diesel, the brain's fuel is sugar. So if there is no sugar, it will take away sugar from the rest of the body, then you are not sweet anymore, and then you are deprived of brain power. So according to Ayurveda treatment, they always give for those who are in the initial stages of, what is that Maharaj's mother had got, that horrible thing? Alzheimer's disease. The Ayurveda treatment for Alzheimer's disease is to give nice amount of Panchamrit. Panchamrit is very good for brain. And one must drink the whole glass of Panchamrit. That is what Ayurveda says. So then when this was explained to Mrs. Birla, there is one nice lady, she's a devotee, Yash Birla's wife. I don't know the lady's name, forgot her name. Huh? Avanti, is it? Acha, Avanti. Yeah. So in Gujarati we add Ben to everybody, Avanti Ben, because everybody's sister. So this Avanti, when I went to this Birla's house, because Maharaj, they always call Radhanath Maharaj and he preaches to them. So when I went there, I was served this huge big glass, about double the size of this, like a Punjabi glass. And I said, what is this? This is Panchamrit. Because Maharaj has come, you have come. Now in my life I had never drunk more than a spoon of Panchamrit at a time. And I was supposed to drink. Now once you have tasted with your lips, naturally you don't want to spoil it. But then I remembered that the medical Ayurveda Veda means knowledge, isn't it? Sanskrit word Veda means knowledge. And Ayurveda means to live long, healthy life. The knowledge which makes you live a healthy life, long life, is Ayurveda. That is the meaning of the word Ayurveda. So, we drank it. I think you all have drunk, no? Very tasty. So, she says that this is my standard drink now. Any guest comes, I serve them this Panchamrit. Panchamrit, pancha means five. Amrut means, mrut means death. Amrut means no death. So, if you drink these five things, you don't get death. And that is a fact, because actually we do not get death. We do not get death. The soul does not die. So Panchamrut is meant for the soul. It's a wonderful drink. Try and drink it. This is available in a big bowl there. So all these Vaishnava temples will always keep Panchamrut, because they are benevolent to human beings. Of course, sometimes even small thing is dropped, then you find ants. And those ants get elevated immediately in the next birth. Because if they are too much connected with Radha Gopinath temple, they will be born as devotees here. Or they may come as one of our young brahmacharis or Anath Ashram. From Anath they become Sanath. Once I was told by Radhanath Maharaj that this was an Anath. Anath means a place where there are children who have no father and mother. Or a Nath. Nath means God or protector. Protector. Nath means protector. And Anath means there is no protector. So Anath means he is deprived of his father or mother or both. So Sanath means you are fully protected. So these children who are here with us, they become Sanath from Anath. Maharaj once told me. So I had to quietly go to my house, refer to the dictionary. What is Sanath? Because therefore it is Sanatan Dharma. So what Lord Rishabhdev was teaching was that dharma which is fully protective, Sanat, which makes you Sanatan, which is gives you eternal life with Lord, if you wish, Rishabhdev or Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in the spiritual world there are wonderful planets. So if you are very fond of Narsi Bhagwan, by all means you will be with Lord Narsingdev. You are very fond of any particular form of the Lord, fine. You can go to that particular planet. You see. And if you are fond of Lord Krishna himself, it's very difficult to get there. But because of Prabhupada, he has taught the way. Because he has come from there. He has been sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu against his will. Actually, Prabhupada once told very, very confidentially to some of his disciples that I did not wish to come here. Do you know this, Govind Prabhu? Huh? Bhavanand Prabhu. He told Bhavanand Prabhu that I protested to Lord Chaitanya. I didn't want to come. He disclosed, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said that I am committing, that I will send my commander-in-chief to spread the holy name of the Lord in every town, village of this world. And he didn't do it himself. He could have done. Lord can do whatever he wants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have done everything. But he wanted to give, like Krishna could have killed all these asur-minded, Duryodhan, etc. But he didn't do it. He gave the glory to Arjun. Isn't it? Therefore, the Lord is such that he is giving all the glory to the Vaishnavas, who are superior to the Brahmanas. All Brahmanas are not Vaishnavas, but all Vaishnavas are Brahmanas. So that's like, you know, all dogs are not animals, are animals, but all animals are not dogs. So that is why the Vaishnavas are always knowing, not only Brahman, Brahman Jnaneti Brahmana, but Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So that is the important thing. And once you know Bhagavan, if you know this Srimad Bhagavatam, then you know everything, because everything is included in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, everything is included in me, but I am not included in everything. Because in the stool there is no God. Stool is not prasad. You see? So similarly, of course, the pig doesn't know that. That's the pig mentality. So one should not become like a pig and go to chapati and eat any bhelpuri, because there is no difference. So that is the important issue, that one must read the Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, eat prasad, chant the holy name of the Lord 16 rounds a day minimum, and take initiation. Most important is to take initiation, because if you are not initiated, means you have no entrance. You didn't get the entrance to the university or college, then you are illiterate. So you may have learned, if it's very rare that a doctor can go and study quietly under a tree, but then he is a quack doctor. Nobody will believe him. Nobody will get operated with him. So similarly, he may know many things, but that doesn't mean that he is fully qualified. It's safer to go to a proper disciplic succession and initiate in this chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I have taken much more time than I should have. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, thanks for a wonderful class. You just mentioned about a couple of minutes back that if you're interested in Rishabh, they will go to Rishabh's planet.
Yes.
There is a particular community, I think you're aware of that, who believes in Rishabh Dev.
Yeah, you were born in that. I know that also.
What happens to those type of people? Do they go to Rishabh's planet or...
No, that's a wonderful question. I'm very glad you asked this question, because, see, this enlivens me. Because what happened is that I was preaching to these my friends. Many of them are born Jains. My neighbors also. So I said, why are you not following? And I gave them this book, little booklet on Lord Rishabhdev. I said, why are you not following the original Lord Rishabhdev himself? Why are you following people who polluted Lord Rishabhdev's Jainism? Jainism is part of Vedic Sanatan Dharma. What Lord Rishabhdev has taught is pure, perfect. Absolutely perfect. There is nothing wrong with what he has taught. Why did they have to pollute it? That is why every time it happens, because this material world is like that, that even our own Vedic Sanatana Dharma went through a trough, you know, like in a, you go down trough and then it's very difficult to come up again. So they have this Jain Dharma was doing fine as long as they were following purely Rishabh Bhagwan, Lord Rishabhdev. Then what happened, that somebody thought that let's go a little further than that, Lord Rishabhdev, and I won't give names because, you know, it's, somebody may feel hurt. But one of the kings in Bihar, this unfortunately happens a lot in Bihar, because Jarasandh was also there, and we know what is Bihar right now also. But then there, even parampara is like that. What can you do? It's unfortunate. So there was one king in Bihar. He thought this Rishabh Bhagwan, then, you know, he was in Mysore, Karnataka side. He left his body. So, but this fellow, this gentleman thought that, this I know for a fact. I've talked to a lot of experts and nobody has asked me this question, so, but it occurred to me long back. So this king, he said, there must be more to this than what Rishabh they've taught. So what he did was a very funny thing. He engaged these Varanasi Mayavads, pandits, great pandits, but Mayavad. He thought they were great, you know. So he said, you make more research and give me better Rishabh, Jain Dharma. And these people, out of vengeance, concocted a whole new philosophy, which is now practiced as Jainism. It is not Rishabhdev's Jainism. So I challenge many times, many of my friends who are Jain scholars, I tell them that, look at the original one, just like Prabhupada taught, what is our principal document? It is called Bhagavad Gita as it is. Isn't it? That's our document. Whereas there are 1800 other Bhagavad Gitas which are not as it is. Which are not as it is. Because I myself used to follow them before this Bhagavad Gita came. You follow? So I know that because this world is a place which is polluted and it will pollute, it starts polluting religion also. It starts polluting the minds of the people, therefore it pollutes the religion. Original religion cannot be polluted because it has to emanate only from God. No religion is religion unless it emanates from God. But then people think, you know, that I can do better, I can do this, I can do that. Somewhat like, you know, in a family, I'll give you a concrete another example. There are many, many industries and business, because I am a businessman, so I give this example. There are many industries and businesses which are doing very well, you know. They were growing well, expanding well, giving good dividends and so on. Then suddenly one of the sons or somebody feels, oh, my grandfather didn't know what he was doing. And he starts doing something such that the whole business crumbles. Actually, it disintegrates, crumbles and vanishes actually. This is what has happened to this great religion called Jainism. So, I am very happy that you have taken on the original Jain Dharma. So, preach. Please preach. I told you, no? You must preach. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.